The sixth chapter of Matthew's Gospel, and we'll commence our reading at the verse 19. Reading from the 19th verse of the sixth chapter of Matthew's Gospel. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We'll end our reading at the last verse. True blessedness, or true happiness, is only to be found in a right relationship with the Lord. We find the Lord Jesus Christ when he is setting forth the Word of God in his Sermon on the Mount, speaks much concerning our right relationship with the Lord. And there is many things, I suppose, that we could say that would impact upon that relationship. But nevertheless, I feel that there is one that I must make mention of particularly and specifically. And that is the influence and the impact of the world. The influence of the world is great. There's the influence of the world that seeks to impact upon our relationship with the Lord, if we're saved, if we're in Christ. Now, when I speak about the world, I'm not thinking of the physical entity of the world. I'm not thinking of that which you would see if you went to an atlas. I'm not speaking about the world in that way or in that sense. Rather, when I make mention of the world and a worldly influence, I'm referring to an outlook, a particular mentality, a particular way of viewing life itself. And here in this sixth chapter of Matthew's Gospel, we've been reading part of the Sermon on the Mount, and we find that the Lord is saying in Matthew 6 and verse 24, no man can serve two masters. No man can serve two masters. And then at the very end of that same verse, we read these words. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. And the sense and the meaning here is this. The Lord is saying very clearly and very plainly that ye cannot serve both God and mammon. What do we mean by mammon? Or what is mammon? Well, very simply put, we could say that mammon here is a reference to the god of materialism. But then you might ask the question, well, what is materialism? Well, again, if we can put it very simply, it's that philosophy that proclaims that happiness and blessedness and real satisfaction can be found in things alone. It's that philosophy that says if you can accumulate things and go out after things and set your heart and your affections upon things, then you're going to find the satisfaction that your heart needs. That really is the philosophy of materialism. Now here in the Word of God in Matthew chapter 6 and these words in verse 24, the Lord is saying very explicitly and very clearly, ye cannot serve both God and the god of materialism, namely mammon. And it's just these words, ye cannot serve God and mammon, that I want to consider with you for a little while this evening. And the first thing I would underline is simply this, the futility of attempting to serve God and mammon. The futility of it. Because blessedness or true happiness is never attained and it is never maintained by the possession or the accumulation of the things of earth. I think we can see this very, very clearly when we go over to the book of beginnings and the book of Genesis. And there in Genesis chapter 2, we read familiar words in the verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Here was man made in the image of God, and God had put him into the garden, and he was to exercise his God-given responsibility of tending to that garden, in dressing it and keeping it. But then in verse 16 we read, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. What is the Lord saying here in effect to Adam? He's saying, there are things here in this garden, Adam, and they are here to be your servants. And they are to assist you, and they are to help you as you will pursue my will in bringing praise and glory and honor to my name. But Adam, if you want anything in the garden at the expense of me, then death will come. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. You see, sin has deceived men and women into thinking that things are the cause of great blessing and prosperity. Hence we find that there are many today and their heart is set upon material things and upon material gain. In fact, they go longing after these things, whatever they may be. They go grasping after these things, and in effect, it really is a form of idolatry. Because in no time at all the heart begins to worship these things as a god. And yet, we're told here in our text in Matthew 6, verse 24, ye cannot serve God and mammon. Ye cannot serve both God and mammon. And I wonder, do I speak to some heart here in the meeting? And that's exactly what you have been attempting to do. I hope that tonight you can see the futility of this, because here is the clear, plain word of the Lord. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Let's for a moment think of some verses over in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. And here in this 12th chapter of Luke's Gospel, we find that the Lord is speaking to his disciples. A great multitude of people have gathered, and he begins in the verse 1 by saying, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And then as he goes on to speak forth, we find in the verse 13 that one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. Now here is someone, and it's clear that the heart of this individual is set and fixed upon things, upon material things. He wants to get the portion of the inheritance that he feels he's due. But how does the Lord answer? I want you to listen to the answer. Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And then he goes on to speak a parable about the ground of a certain rich man bringing forth plentifully, and this man wondering what he's going to do. He has so much here in abundance, and how that his heart was set upon all of those things. And then the Lord was making it clear that it's possible to be rich in those material things and yet not be rich toward God. And this man was rich in material gain, but he had no true riches. He had no eternal riches, for he was not rich toward God. Oh, I wonder tonight where your riches really are. Are they in the things of this world? Is that how you taught up how wealthy you are? How rich you are? You have got this and it's worth so much, and you have that and it's worth so much, and you have something else and it's worth so much, and you can tot up a fine sum, and because it's a big sum in your eyes, you say, oh, I am rich. I am wealthy. Well, are you trying to find your happiness in your wealth, your material wealth? Are you trying to find your true blessedness there? Is that how you're trying to find satisfaction in your own soul? Or maybe I speak to someone here who once ran well for the Lord, but tonight you're backslidden. You're following afar off like Peter. And you have been attempting to serve both God and mammon. Tonight finds your heart set very much not upon the Lord, not upon his word, but very much upon the things of this world. You have found your heart going after many things, and you have been seeking some kind of satisfaction in those things. Oh, I want you to understand how futile your attempt is to try and serve both God and mammon. Let's look again at the context here in which our text is found in Matthew chapter 6. When we come to the verse 19, we have these words, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Is that what you have been doing? Laying up treasures upon earth? But there's a contrast in the verse 20. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. literally there in the verse 19 when it says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, it's really saying, treasure not up treasures. Treasure not up treasures upon earth. In other words, the message here is clear that you're not to be going after those things that are really dependent on this present life and that will end with this present life. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Does that mean that we can somehow lay up some kind of merit whereby we can get into heaven? No, it doesn't mean that at all. And it's not teaching that. Because the only way to heaven and the only way into heaven is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no way that a man or a woman can somehow get enough merit by their own efforts or by their own works to get them into heaven. It can't be done. The only way to heaven is Christ. For he himself has said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So Christ is the only way to heaven. No, it's not saying that. But yet it does say here in this verse 20, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Now, what's the meaning? How will we lay up treasures in heaven? If you're saved tonight, how can you lay up treasures in heaven? How do we go about it? What is the meaning of this, to lay up treasures in heaven? How are we going to do it? Well, we will do it. We're not doing it for salvation. I emphasize that point. We're not doing it for salvation. Salvation is by grace through faith. But nevertheless, we should be laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven. And we will do that by having a right view of things. And if we have got a right view of things, earthly things, material things, then we will see the futility of attempting to serve both God and mammon. But speaking about a right view of material things, a right view of earthly things, what do we really mean by that? Well, let the Scriptures tell us. Let the Scriptures show us. When we come to verse 22 of the 6th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, we read these words. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Let's think of it in a physical sense for just a moment, to try and illustrate the point. Think of the physical eye. It's true to say that the physical eye is the lamp that will illumine the whole body. It's through the eye that we can see our body as it is. And we can see what this body needs in a physical sense, or what may be done to this body, or is being done to this body. We may view it, we may see it through the physical eye. But what if our physical eye is diseased, and we don't have good sight? We don't have clear vision. Then we'll not be able to see clearly the other members of the body. But then if we apply this in a spiritual way, if we apply this in a spiritual sense, what if the dust, and I use that word purposely, the dust, a little speck of dust
It's a small thing, isn't it? Very, very small thing. Just a speck of dust. But let a small speck of dust get into your physical eye. And you know what happens? You know how your vision there is greatly impaired just by that small speck of dust getting into your eye. Well, you see, if you're attempting to serve Mammon, the god of materialism, you're going to get the dust of earthly things into your spiritual eyesight. And oh, what darkness ensues. What darkness ensues. And could there be someone in the meeting tonight, and that's what you have been doing? You have been seeking to serve Mammon, the god of materialism, going after these earthly material things. And you have set your heart and your mind so much upon them that the dust of these things have really gotten into your spiritual eyesight. Has that happened to you? The world has got very close indeed to your heart. In fact, it's got so close it's got right into your heart. And you have a divided heart tonight. And you're making the futile attempt of trying to serve both God and Mammon. You're a backslider. You're away from the Lord. And you think you can still both serve God and Mammon, the god of materialism. But I want you to see from the scriptures and our text tonight that it cannot be done. The Lord is telling you, ye cannot serve God and Mammon. I mentioned the word dust. I said I mentioned that on purpose. And the small speck of dust that can get in so quickly and so easily into our eye in a physical sense. You see, even though it be very small, when it comes really close up and gets in, it can do immense damage. You take a small coin or a small pebble, and that would be a little bigger than a speck of dust, and hold it out at arm's length. Then begin to bring it closer and closer and closer and closer and closer and closer to your eye. It's going to mar your vision, isn't it? And when the world is close to the heart and gets into the heart, so much of the spiritual vision is impaired, even small things. And if you're going to lay up treasure in heaven, you need to get a right view of these earthly material things and see that it's futile to be setting your heart upon them and be clinging to them and making them almost the very center of your life and the very center of your life's existence. That's why it's so necessary to live loose to the world. Oh, the futile attempt that many make trying to serve God and Mammon. But I want you to notice in the second place just the folly of all of this. Because when there is a heart that sets itself in this way that we have just described upon the earthly things and the material things, there's one thing is sure. That will be a heart that will be filled with care and worry and anxiety. Thus we find in the context here in Matthew chapter 6 that the Lord is saying, for example, in the verse 25 about taking no thought. We find that's repeated in the remainder of the verses, or words similar to that. What's he saying here? He's saying, be not full of care. That's what that really means, take no thought. Doesn't mean that you're to be thoughtless. But it does mean that you're not to be filled with care. And you see, when the heart is set upon the earthly things and the material things and the temporal things, that is a heart that is going to be filled right up with care. It's going to be a heart that's filled right up with anxiety and with concern and with worry. You see, the things of this earth, the things of this world can get an awful grip upon us to the point where they would almost be in control of our lives. And maybe there's something in your life, something, whatever it might be, and it almost controls your life because it is to you as a God. And you have become its servant, serving it, whatever it might be. In fact, it's that which has gripped your heart. It has taken control of your heart, your feelings, your affections. Because remember what we read here in Matthew chapter 6 and the verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Think of it. Where your treasure is, where your treasure now is. That's the sense and the meaning of it. Where your treasure now is. Where you now look for the source of your future blessedness, your future happiness, there will your heart be. That's what it's saying. There will your affections be. Where is your treasure then? Is it in the earthly and the material and the temporal? Well, then that's where your heart is. That's where your affections are. That's what the Lord is saying here. That's what the Lord is setting forth. Oh, the folly of having the world in the heart. It controls the affections. It grips the heart. And what is more, it grips and it controls the mind. I may have said to you before what a battle goes on for the mind. We were referring to the book of Genesis a little while ago and the Garden of Eden and our first parents, Adam and Eve. And you remember how the devil came in the form of the serpent and Eve was deceived. Eve was deceived by the devil in the form of the serpent. And what was the devil out to do? Oh yes, he was out to deceive her, undoubtedly. But he was out to have her think in her mind wrongly about her Creator. And Satan blinded the mind of Eve with his words that were specifically designed to have her think wrongly about God Himself. And we must realize that there's a great battle goes on for our minds, because know this, that whatever molds your mind, whatever molds your thoughts, will shape your life. And if it's the world and the things of the world, if it's those things that are molding your mind and molding your thoughts and captivating your mind, it will be those very things that will be shaping your life. It will be shaping your life. Do you have anxious thoughts? Do you? Be honest tonight. Would you say, yes, I have a heart that's filled with anxiety. I have a heart that's overflowing with care. Why would that be? Why should that be? Is it not because that heart is fixed and centered upon the material and the earthly and the temporal? Is that not the reason why? Because the scriptures here again in Matthew chapter 6, they tell us in the verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? In other words, it's telling us this, that our thoughts of anxiety, our anxious thoughts, are really incapable of doing us any good. They're incapable of helping us in any way. And is yours a heart tonight filled, just filled full of anxious thoughts? Know from the Word of God that those anxious thoughts, that heart of yours so filled with care, is incapable of helping you. Is incapable of giving you any peace, any satisfaction. Oh, the folly of all of this. This heart being filled with care. Yes, it would grip the affections. It would control the mind. It would also control the will. It would also control the will. You know what our text said? Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. That's speaking to us about the will. Because what we do, or what we attempt to do in service, is controlled by our wills. And our wills are exercised in accordance with our thoughts. And how and what we think is determined by where our treasure is. And so if your heart tonight is not in a right relationship with God, then anxiety, care, worldly care, is your portion. Can you see the folly of it all? But that brings us, as we close, to make mention of the forbearance of it. And I say forbearance in the sense and in the meaning of avoiding this. Since we read in our text in Matthew 6:24, ye cannot serve God and mammon, the meaning being ye cannot serve both God and mammon. You say, I don't want to be serving or attempting to serve both God and mammon. How can I avoid that? How can I avoid that? Backslider, is that what you have been attempting to do? Do you see a picture of yourself here in these words of our text? Attempting to serve both God and mammon. Maybe the Lord is bringing you to the point tonight where you're saying, oh, I no longer want to engage in such a vain, futile attempt. I can see the folly of it. For this heart of mine is not at peace. This heart of mine is not at rest. This heart of mine is filled with my own ways, as the backslider's heart is, according to God's word. Oh, how will I avoid this? Well, if you will accept what God says in His Word and be in obedience to that, you're going to avoid it. You'll no longer be trying to attempt to serve both God and mammon. Are you willing to give up those things that your heart has been set upon in obedience to God's Word? Well, then if you are, you're going to no longer attempt to try and serve both God and mammon. The Apostle Paul, as he was writing to the Philippians, in Philippians chapter 4, he was speaking about how he had learned. Philippians 4:11, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. How did he learn that? How did he learn that? By accepting God's will for him as God revealed it to him in his word. Are you going to continue to sacrifice spiritual goals for material ends? Are you going to continue to do that? Then you're really saying, if you are, that you're going to try and attempt to serve both God and mammon. And the Lord is telling you, you cannot do that. Realize how quickly the things of earth can be taken from us. Just in a moment of time. I recall the words of 1 Timothy 6. There, in the verse 7, it says, we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. We can carry nothing out. When we leave this scene of time, we'll not take a thing with us. And are you fixing your heart upon those temporal things that will pass with the ending of life here on earth, to go out into eternity? You think of it. And know that the Lord will so speak to your heart tonight that you will see the folly of trying to serve God and mammon, backslider, that you'll come to the Lord, you'll return to the Lord and know his forgiveness and his mercy, and begin to walk with him closely as you once did. But as of now, you're walking afar off. You're following afar off. Where is your treasure tonight? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Is your treasure Christ? Can you say, he is my treasure? He is my all in all. If that is so, then your heart is fixed and focused upon him. Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee that we have thy word, and we thank thee that thy word sounds a warning note.